May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So Ruth and I, during a rare evening during this past Advent, I had the time to sit down and watch a movie, a full movie, as we decided that we would watch The Grinch, starring Jim Carrey. It was after all the holidays that my son is smiling at me. Great movie. We've had it in our home for years, watched it every year, for many years at least. Now, I'm one of those guys in this age when you can hold a computer in your hand that I watch the movie and then I begin to look, who's that guy? What's going on there, you know? You know, like, I mean, questions like, I know it's annoying, right? And rather ironic, instead of actually watching the movie and enjoying it, I'm looking to see, well, who played Cindy Lou's dad? You know, does anybody know? Yeah, Bill Irwin is his name, and yes, he's Cardinal Brennan on Blue Bloods. Just thought I'd make that connection for you because you probably wanted to know. But I also looked up some information about Jim Carrey. And realized that for the last couple decades, he's been involved in a very deep spiritual journey. He's getting into art. He does in a movie occasionally here and there because he needs the money. I mean, he's only worth $180 million, so, you know, I mean, he needs some help. But he's been in this spiritual journey. And he in an interview, you know, he was in Bruce Almighty in 2003, and that kind of started this journey. Apparently playing God can do that to you. But Jim Carrey summed up the meaning of the Bruce Almighty movie as, quote, "It's all about not seeing your blessings, a problem that is a common thing for a lot of people." And Carrey also commented on the power of counting the blessings. In fact, he reported that he is in the habit of making a list of the things that he's grateful for. In words you don't expect from a former A-list Hollywood actor, he says, "I would challenge anybody in their darkest moments to write what they're grateful for, even stupid little things like green grass that makes them feel good, the friendly conversation they had with somebody on an elevator. You start to realize how rich you are." End quote. Count your blessing. Remember to be grateful and see how rich you truly are. Take time to give thanks for everything you have been given. See how blessed and rich you truly are. I want to give you a little hint about this message about today. Yes, it's about gratitude. But in the scripture, from Luke's gospel, I want you to recognize how important the word see is. I mean, to see, to have a vision of it. Is when it's connected to our attitude and how that's connected to our attitude of gratitude. In today's passage from Luke, Jesus is on a road trip between Samaria and Galilee. He's not traveling from Samaria to Galilee. He's literally between Samaria and Galilee on his way to Jerusalem. And he enters into this vision, this village, between those two nations, Samaria and Galilee, in the north of Israel, and 10 leopards approach him, and they call out from a distance, raising their voices in unison, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And they are desperate for healing because they are unclean people. They don't dare rush up to Jesus. They can't come closer than about 50 feet. They know they're supposed to keep that distance and live outside of the community, away from their families, as Coach Patty said in the children's time. Clearly the 10 leopards saw Jesus. They saw him and they approached him, but they also saw how close they could get, monitoring that always, keeping the religious laws of their day. But here's the first time that the word see is used in the scriptures, as Jesus sees them and then he decides to be merciful toward them. He has this desire to be merciful toward them. And we read in verse 14, "When he saw them, he said to them, 'Go and show yourself to the priest.'" Another moment of seeing. He wants the priest to see that they've been healed. It's an unusual command. Go and show yourself to the priest. To us, these words sound odd, but in the time of Jesus, a leper who was fortunate enough to be healed, would show himself to a priest because only a priest could certify that they were able to return to the community. Something's going on here. Something wonderful and mysterious and tingling with the healing power of God. And as the lepers make their way toward the priest, they are miraculously cleansed, and one of them, we'll call him leper number 10, okay? Leper number 10 sees that he is healed, and he turns around to race back to Jesus, praising God with a loud voice, and he prostrates himself at Jesus' feet, and he thanks him profusely. But only one gives thanks. One out of 10. Were not 10 made clean? Asked Jesus. Sounding a little miffed, isn't he? But the other 9, where are they? Only one takes the time to count his blessings. Only one bothers to come back to Jesus and say thanks. A 10% return. It's pretty pathetic. But are we doing any better today? Keeping in mind that the other 9 lepers did exactly what Jesus told them to do. They're not being disobedient. They're doing what Jesus told them to do. They're following Jesus' instructions. They were doing the will of God. Can't really fault them for that, can we? But gratitude and thanksgiving move us beyond a standard, beyond acceptance, what is acceptable, beyond the ordinary. A gracious attitude and lifestyle makes one extraordinary, unusually blessed, a cut above the rest. New research is showing that people who count their blessings and find themselves sleeping better, exercising more, and caring more about others. People who remind themselves of the things that they are grateful for. People who count their blessings one by one consciously every day shows significant improvement in mental health and even in some aspects of physical health. Bless you. And these results appear to be true whether you are a healthy college student or an older person with a terminal disease. According to research published in the Journal of Personality and Social Psychology. And here's how the study was performed. It was performed on college students, were asked to fill out a weekly report of 5 things for which they were grateful. That list, such as things of the generosity of friends to the Rolling Stones. You kind of get an idea of how old this study is. But we move on. Another group made up of adults with incurable diseases such as polio were asked to write down a list of things that made them thankful. And then there was a comparable group that was asked to count their hassles instead of their blessings. They listed aggravations such as it's hard to find parking or their finances are depleting quickly. And instead of focusing on how rich they were, members of this group focused on their poverty. The results were predictable. In the end, the grateful people felt better about their lives, more optimistic about their prospects. The thankful college students exercised more, and the chronically ill adults who focused on blessings reported sleeping longer and waking up more refreshed. The members of the grateful groups were also nicer to their neighbors and more willing to help people with personal problems, leading the researchers to conclude that gratitude can serve as a moral motivator. It seems that the paintbrush of gratitude really does color every situation. To return to our scripture of the 10 lepers, the biggest surprise is that the thankful leper is number 10. He's revealed to be a Samaritan. This is where we need organ music. Bum, bum, bum. It's a Samaritan. My goodness. And this comes as a shock to most of Jesus' followers because they see Samaritans as low-life losers, second-class citizens, members of the wrong race, region, and religion. The Samaritans are not a respectable member of the community at large. And yet he's the only one who's counting his blessings. He saw that he was healed, and that, according to Jesus, made all the difference. It showed Jesus that while the others had experienced the healing of their bodies, this fellow had found healing in his soul. Was none of them found to return and give thanks to God except this foreigner? Jesus asked. And then he says to the Samaritan, get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well. That's a great line. What made him well? Your faith. Not the doctors or the technicians or your faith made you well. I prayed for a couple years for my mom to survive cancer, and she didn't. And she was a faithful person. And sometimes healing doesn't have anything to do with the body. It has something to do with your soul. And she died. And I still believe that faith made her whole. Her faith healed her. Your faith has made you well, says Jesus to leper number 10. He gives him a little fist bump, a little high five. So much for the faith that, and as for healing, for the faith that returns to give thanks. After all, it's a grateful faith, not a gimme faith that saves us. Leper number 10, a Samaritan, wanted some soul healing. And it's no doubt that most of us need that today. And we're not going to find it unless we're able to count our blessings. And I'd like to offer my own testimony at this point on this paintbrush of the attitude of gratitude. In 2019, I challenged myself, an example of a faithful parishioner, to live a year of faithfulness, of living gratefully. I was going to write a thank you note every day of that year. It was easy at first. You know, when you start the year out, you can write notes for Christmas gifts and people who had joyfully served in many programs in the church. It was easy. But then there came times where I looked for opportunities to thank anybody for anything. For example, I wrote a thank you note to the chair of a committee that I served on. He was a good chairperson. And I wanted him to know that I recognized that. And I thanked him for it. That person then sent me an email thanking me for my thank you. And then told me that he'd been having a rough week. And when my note arrived to him, we're talking handwritten notes in an orange envelope. He said it lifted his spirits. Now, to be completely honest with you, friends, it took me 14 months to write a year's worth of thank yous. It was a long year. But it was a worthwhile experience for which I am grateful, pun intended. And there were four takeaways from my year of living gratefully, and I want to share them with you. I actually wrote this in an article that was published in our online magazine for our denomination in the state of Michigan. First, living a life of thankfulness increases your gratitude vocabulary. Do you remember vocabulary tests from school? You know, more than a spelling test, you had to define the word. So rather than simply write thank yous, you write about being blessed and being grateful. You write that you're thankful to God for that person and their kindness towards you. You increase your vocabulary of how to express thankfulness and gratitude. The second takeaway is you begin to look for, see, and name all for which you are thankful. It's a wonderful opportunity for self-exploration. I even wrote thank you notes for thank you notes I had received. And during the lulls of in my experience, I found myself searching to express thankfulness to people who hadn't done anything specifically for me, but rather were intentional in their work, how they lived their lives, how they cared for others. Business people who cared for customers and colleagues and co-workers. Third, it enhanced my prayer life. As the thanksgiving became more prominent in my daily devotions and prayer, I asked for God's insight and wisdom while searching for opportunities to thank others. And fourth and finally, I began to recognize the gratitude of others. I stopped for a cup of coffee in a little shop that I'd passed by maybe 100 times before walking into it. I had to prepare for a Bible study, and I had all my books with me. I thought, well, I'm going to stop by for a cup of coffee because you all know I'm very grateful for coffee. I love it. I love coffee. Anyway, and I'm grateful for it. And I sat and I read a chapter in the book, and I was reading it at the time, and I occasionally engaged in a conversation with a very gracious owner of the shop, and I marveled at her cheerfulness and kind demeanor as she answered the phone and dealt with making sweet treats and waiting on customers. In the epilogue to that article that I wrote, I wrote the article in 2022, the experience was from 2019, would have to include a confession that I really stopped writing thank you notes in 2024. I just stopped. Ruth's mother died in December of 23, and my dad died in January of 24, within a month of each other. And instead of writing thank you notes, I just chastised myself for not writing them. And you have to come to that moment and ask yourself, what the heck is wrong with you? Because I talk to myself. Do you talk to yourself? Yeah, yeah. I just, what the heck is wrong with you? And to be really honest with you and confessional, I didn't say heck. Did you get it? Okay. I was angry with myself. I was disappointed. It took about 18 months for me. If I was truthful, I'm not so good sometimes of dealing with my grief, even as I help others deal with theirs. So, this turned around really this past summer, because I was really thankful for a great experience with going on an extended vacation with my wife. That doesn't happen all the time, and it was really a wonderful time, really a great time. So I began this year with a new challenge to once again live gratefully. And whereas I did not share that challenge in 2019, I was doing a lot with people. I'm saying it now as a testimony that I'm feeling better. I'm feeling blessed. I'm feeling grateful. A Barna research poll about 20 years ago revealed that despite international tensions and domestic economic problems, 9 out of 10 Americans were happy with their lives, and they said that their religious faith had a lot to do with it. 9 out of 10 Americans are happy, and they credited their faith. That's an impressive statistic, but does it mean that 9 out of 10 regularly give thanks to God? Maybe not. We may feel good about our lives, but we don't always give credit where credit is due. And frankly, with all the international, domestic, political, and economic challenges of today, I'm not sure those statistics would bear up. I'm not sure they'd be the same. This is what I do know. If we can remember to see our blessings, count them, and be grateful, we'll find ourselves healthier in body, mind, and spirit. We'll feel better about our lives, more optimistic about our prospects, and more helpful toward people around us. After all, Jesus proclaimed it. Modern research confirms it. A grateful faith can make you well. Thank God for the paintbrush of the attitude of gratitude. And that, my friends, is the word of God for the people of God today at Central Church. In the name of our Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer, amen.